Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning Five here on Friday, March 22nd, 2024. I am Dave Biddle. I will be joined by Jonah Booker in just a moment. A bunch of stuff to get into. You want to talk about iron sharpens iron? Is there a better example of Ohio State's wide receivers against Ohio State's corners in practice? It's fun to watch. We got a chance to talk with Brian Hartline and Tim Walton yesterday. We'll get into that. Speaking of Ohio State assistant coaches, what's going to happen at running back? Who's going to be the eventual replacement for Tony Alford? We thought it might be DeMarco Murray. Not so much. Did DeMarco play Ohio State? We'll get into all that with Jay Book and more in just a moment. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our returning sponsor and a great deal you guys can get from Manscaped. Jay Book's just going to enjoy laughing at me. This episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. The Lawnmower 5.0 is must-purchase material, and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com, use code BUCKNUTS for 20% off plus free shipping. Spring cleaning doesn't just apply to the nether regions. Get the full grooming experience with Manscaped's signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit plus Handyman Electric Face Shaver. Whether you're looking to craft your signature look or clean up that neckline, these are always the right tools for the job. Can confirm, love those. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning. All right. Let's get, there's nothing like J-Book either. Let's get J-Book in here. Get a chance to start Friday off with J-Book laughing at me. Come on. Entertain. All right. I tell you, man, I mean, if you hear the phrase iron sharpens iron, is there a better example than when Ohio State's wide receivers are going after Ohio or going against Ohio State's corners in practice? It's been fun to watch. We've only had two open windows this spring, but it's been a lot of fun to watch. And then we got a chance to, as I said earlier, I got a chance to talk with Brian Hartline and Tim Walton yesterday. And as you know, J-Book, there's a ton of like position groups on this team that's loaded with talent and depth. Dare I say, in whatever order, wide receiver and corner might be atop that list?
I think you're right. I would definitely go with the cornerback position. I still think that's the deepest position group. But you know one thing that I love about the wide receiver interviews? Those younger guys and Brandon Enos, Carnell Tate, they keep it 100, Dave. Those guys, they don't come up there and just do your canny responses. They're going to give you a little peek behind the curtain there. And I love what Carnell Tate had to say, Dave. I thought it was spectacular, especially talking about how in the previous, you know, season when he was there freshman year last year, the DBs always talking. And keep in mind, that's what defensive backs do, Dave. We love to talk. run in our mouth, make a play. You can get burnt for a 35-yard gain. Next play, come back, get a breakup, and you act like you just had the biggest breakup in your career. That's just how DBs react. But I thought it was very fascinating that Carnell said that, hey, we're talking back out there. And I love it, Dave. I absolutely love it. You get those young dogs out there, those young wide receivers, got no fear. You got those South Florida Express wide receivers coming up here, and they've been competing at the highest level, you know, since they were freshmen in high school. And they come up here, them boys are going to chirp. They're going to make plays on the field. They're going to push each other, and it's awesome. I mean, you look at those young DBs, Dave, and it sets the tone. When you got the veterans out there like Iggy and Hancock and Burke, those guys is chirping. Those guys are bringing the fire to the wide receivers. That's when you start seeing the young dudes. You know, your Matthews, your Calvin Simpson Hunts. You know, you get your Aaron Scotts out there, those type of DBs, and then you get your safeties. They're out there running their mouth. And the whole time, Dave, it's fun. It's fun because you're competing with your boys. And the thing is, with a lot of these wide receivers and defensive backs, they may not face another unit as good as the ones that they're going against in practice. So if you cooking somebody that day, man, that does a lot for your confidence.
It's awesome. It's just fun. It's fun hearing the guys talk about each other, like hearing the wide receivers talk about the corners and vice versa, and hearing Tim Walton talk about the wide receivers and Brian Hartline talk about the corners. I mean, Tim Walton was saying, you know, as I'm sure you saw the interview, you know, he was telling us, like, when he first got here, it wasn't like this. It wasn't a fair fight. It's a fair fight now. Brian Hartline confirmed it. It's a fair fight now, but you better believe it. More than a fair fight. I mean, Davison Igbinosun, I thought, was good last year. He continues. His stock continues to rise. You know, and it's crazy, man. Denzel Burke, you laid it all. I mean, it's just – it's insane. I keep going back. Jermaine Matthews is your number four corner.
Yeah.
I mean, you're dripping with depth.
I love the leadership from it. And give me – at the skill position, man, you got to have a little swag at the position. You got to talk a little trash, man. Like, you don't go overboard with it, but you got to have a little bounce to your step out there. And when you have those – you got the veterans in the DB room like Iggy and Burke and stuff. Those guys love to talk it up, man. And it reminds me of the old group. You listen to a lot of those players during the Urban Meyer era, Dave. And what do they say? Practice was war. Like, you go to practice, and if you don't have your chin strap buckled up and your mouthpiece in, you're going to get laid out. And they're bringing that type of fire, that breath, that type of energy back to the forefront. And I love when Carnell, you know, he kind of admitted, like, yeah, the DBs was getting kind of the best of us. But now, man, we out here, we giving it to them. We holding our own right now, and we talking back to them. So when you start getting the young pups out there getting a couple victories and they're running their mouth, that right there just sets it off. Because then you start to get the situation, Dave, where – Tim Walton and Brian Hartline start chirping at each other. You know, once you start getting the DB coaches in there and they're running their mouth at each other, that right there just sets the energy and the tone, man. That's what makes practice fun. You know, you want to be safe out there, but when you're going at it with your boys like that, you dap each other up in the locker room afterwards, man, and tell them, hey, keep pushing me. You go back to the film room, you make the corrections. That some of the mistakes that you made, but you look at your teammate in the eye, say, man, keep pushing me. Keep pushing me, because as long as you keep pushing me and I keep pushing you, man, we're going to do great things on the field. But how about this, Dave? How about Brian Hartline saying Jeremiah Smith is just out there cooking people, and Hartline asked him, do you know what you did? And he was like, I have no idea. Like, that kid is just out there just giving people the business, and he has no idea what he's doing. It's just – he's just going off God-given talent, man. How about that?
It's crazy. When we got a chance to talk with Hartline a few minutes before Jeremiah Smith got his black stripe removed. And, you know, I put the quote in the headline of the story that I wrote on Brian Hartline. Get on Bucknuts if you haven't read that yet. Story on Brian Hartline talking about Jeremiah Smith. We also have the full video of Hartline from yesterday. We have all the videos on our YouTube page and on Bucknuts.com. When he says about each, and he doesn't throw around stuff like this lightly. Hartline's a straight shooter. When he talks about a true freshman who should still be in high school and uses the term J-Book, he's very veteran-like. Mm-hmm. He went through this whole thing. He's like, I love the way he lives. I love that quote. I love the way he lives. I love the way he prepares. You're talking about the number one recruit in the country, not just the number one wide receiver, number one period, as you know. Coming in here could have been very cocky. There's none of that. He's very coachable, and Hartline was just going off. And all these things that he was just gushing about, the one that really jumped out to me again was, like, he's very veteran-like. To say that about a kid that's, like, 17 years old, maybe 18 at the oldest, that says a lot right there. Then he's the first one to get his black stripe removed. No surprise there.
When you hear coaches, Dave, and we've been following this long enough, once they start talking about a kid who carries himself in a very mature manner, very veteran-like for a younger guy, that right there is your green light to go ahead and just bank it that this kid's going to play a lot. Mm-hmm. We've heard it numerous times. Once, because that's the one thing that coaches observe. A lot of these kids, incredibly talented, but they don't know how to act like a pro, and they're not professional, but you have to carry yourself in a certain manner once you get to this level, and you have to be able to carry yourself on another level from what you were used to in high school in order to handle a spotlight like you're going to have to handle at a place like Ohio State. And so for Brian Hartline to say, I love the way this kid lives off the field, that tells me that he's doing all the things that he needs to be doing to make sure that he's going to be ready to play. He's going to be able to handle the spotlight. But I tell you what, though, Brandon Ennis, Dave, the buzz for him is starting to heat up too. And he let it loose that he's been repping, getting a little bit of hybrid role there, playing some Xavier Johnson, going back there, getting some touches out of the backfield, going to line up at wide receiver. He's going to play. He's probably going to be your punt returner there. I think he's going to be the guy that can really make you miss in the phone booth and get you those hidden yards and flip the field on special teams. But Brandon Ennis, Dave, in a Chip Kelly type of playbook, could we see a situation where Chip brings out some of the, you know, blows the dust off that playbook when he had DeAnthony Thomas at Oregon, when he was letting him cook at running back, then, you know, put him out at wide receiver with some mismatches, get Brandon Ennis one-on-one in a slot against some of these Big Ten safeties, Big Ten linebackers, and let him go to work, Dave. I'm liking what I'm hearing about Ennis.
He's another one that carries himself like a grown man. I was right there. I mean, I was like, you know, maybe 5 feet away from him yesterday as we were doing the interviews, and just another young man that carries himself like a veteran. Even looks like it. I mean, he's got like this, you know, he just looks physical, and he, you know, look, you know, we saw a taste of it last year, a small taste of it, but looking at his high school film, he's so tough. Yeah. He reminds me a lot. And I know I'm not the first one to say this. Reminds me a lot of Jackson Smith and Jigba. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you're absolutely right. And you're also right about like what you said about Jeremiah Smith. Like, a coach doesn't go on and on and on and on about like all that stuff, like especially the off the field stuff, unless like you're absolutely in the plans to play. Yeah. So I'm with you, man. I mean, all these guys, Carnell Tate's another one, you know, he's a grown man that's 19 years old, looks you in the eye. You know, he's just one of those guys that just, these guys are A plus talent and A plus young men. It's incredible to find both.
Yeah. Now I do have to ask you this. You know, we talk about all of the praising of the players and stuff that we've been getting. What's going on with Jaden Ballard, Dave? I mean, time's running out on the kid. Like, when you got your head coach coming to the podium and basically pleading for a senior wide receiver to step up. And the thing about it, Dave, Ohio State released that video, you know, March Madness video. It's like, oh, who would you put in your starting five for basketball? Almost every player to a T said Ballard. And that right there kind of tells me that he's off the charts gifted athletically, but something's missing to where the coaches as a senior saying, hey, we need more from you. We still need you to step up, because they even mentioned Bryson Rogers is starting to step up. And for them to say Ballard still needs to step up as a senior, I'm like, man, I don't know about that, Dave.
No, I mean, you nailed it. I mean, he does, just for those out there, this is his fourth year. He does technically have 2 years of eligibility left. He did redshirt. I don't think he has a COVID year. I think, you know, he was a year after that. So, but he does, he's a fourth year junior. But you're right. I mean, I was going to even ask you, so we'll just get to it. I was thinking maybe Ballard would stick around even if he's not in that top four, top five, because maybe he'd be the punt returner like he was last year after Emeka got hurt. But if they use Ennis back there, which I think Ennis would be really good in that role, he might not be like the fastest guy back there, but he'd be one of those guys that'd be hard to tackle. He'd go north, south. Yeah. Some of those are the best punt returners. They aren't game breakers, but they're highly effective. But then I was going to ask you this. All right. Because under Hartline, if you're not in the top four, you're probably not going to play typically. And every spring, it's like, oh, no, this year is going to be different. We got six guys that are going to play. It's like, okay, sure. Let me ask you this. Will anybody outside of the top four play a relatively big role, however you define that? So the top four in whatever order, Emeka, Carnell Tate, Jeremiah Smith, Brandon Ennis. Those guys are locked in. Will anybody outside of those four have a relatively big role, however you define that?
I do not think so. And if they do, then history says this is out of the norm. Because if you're going to just follow the repeated history of Brian Hartline, the answer with that would be an overwhelming no, because, you know, he's had a very short rotation throughout his coaching career at Ohio State. I just don't like the fact that we're this far into Ballard's tenure and they're still asking him to step up.
Right.
Where you will want to see is no doubt about it, for a guy that's been in the program that long, that he's right there at the tip of the spear helping to lead the charge with this wide receiver room. He should be the one that they're looking to say, hey, the young guys need to be following what Ballard's doing. Follow what he's doing, because he's been in the program. He knows the ways. His time is now. like I said, incredibly gifted. You can tell that by the players saying, hey, he would be in my top five on a pickup basketball team if we were going to go out there and play in the March Madness tournament. But, yeah, I just wish that he can find his way. And it may not be at a place like Ohio State, Dave. I mean, this stage may be too big for him. And you're not going to wish anybody to transfer, but it's okay to take a look at somebody's career 4 years in and say, maybe this isn't the spot that he's going to take his career to the next level like he wants to.
Dare I say your Ohio Bobcats would be a perfect fit. I mean, Sam Wiglius was a walk-on here.
Right.
Goes to Ohio University and is all MAC. You know, Jaden Ballard is markedly. I mean, Sam Wiglius is definitely a talented young man. But, Jaden Ballard is an elite athlete, as you've been pointing out. He's super fast. For the guys that say he's the best basketball player on the team, that says a lot when they got guys that can ball out on that team, like Tui Moloau and several others. That's saying a lot. If he went to Ohio University, he would be a star there.
See, and here's where I got to slightly push back on you, Dave.
Okay.
I think he's a better athlete than a MAC caliber athlete. I mean, he is. I mean, no doubt he would be the primary guy. But if you have Ballard go to somewhere like Pitt, or do I say Syracuse? You know, go up to Syracuse and play there.
There you go.
You know, places like that are still Power Five conferences that you still will be playing against some very tough competition. I just think that the time is running out for him. But as far as the punt returns, when it comes to Ballard, Dave, yes, we mentioned his physicality as far as being a gifted, but he reminds me of one of those 200 sprinters. Like, it takes him a while to really get going from point A to point B to top speed. I feel like Ballard would make a much better kick returner than he would as a punt returner, because as a punt returner, you got to be fluid in the hips. You got to be able to make people miss at the point of attack. And good Lord, can you please not fair catch inside the 5-yard line?
Yeah, I put that on Parker Fleming, because if I'm a special teams coach, and I love what they're doing this year, I'm going to get to that in a second. If I'm a special teams coach, my punt returners know 100%, because I've told them, I've drilled this into my head, you will not catch a punt at the 5. Maybe I'll allow you to do it at the 7. That would be the furthest. It used to be the 10, and it's kind of the 7. I love what they're doing with special teams. And you know what else I love, Jay Book? You know I'm a huge Jim Tressel guy. Yeah. I love that Ryan Day and Jim Tressel, the relationship continues every year, it seems. They get a little bit tighter. And Ryan Day said flat out, he's taking a page out of Tressel's book, because Tressel gave him some advice after the season, what he used to do with special teams. Didn't have a full-time special teams coach. He'd have the individual guys. So, you know, maybe Brian Hartline will coach up the punt returners, you know, and so certain guys maybe the DB coach will coach the gunners and stuff like that. And he says it just brings out the best in them. Yeah. And I love that he's taking advice from Tressel, and I love that he's doing that, spreading it around with all the coaching, having one thing on special teams that they focus on.
That's how it should be, Dave. And it, like Jim Tressel said, it gives you a buy-in. I always thought it was completely stupid to have a full-time special teams coach. Coaches are at a premium in this industry. So wasting a spot full-time for a special team coach made zero sense, especially when that coach has zero recruiting chops. So I do think that Jim Tressel is 100% correct. And, hey, tip of the cap to Ryan Day for reaching out to the OG Jim Tressel and getting some mentoring from him. You never can go wrong from getting some advice from Coach Tress. But, yeah, the buy-in from that's the biggest thing, because how you typically do it, Dave, is you go into these meetings and the position coach, he's in that meeting room, right? And he's going to be the one that's leading the special teams for that position, punt return, kick return. If your players are buying in, that means a lot of the guys in your position groups are begging, they're pleading for an opportunity to get on those teams, especially the younger guys. That's how younger guys, they letter, because they'll beg and plead their position coach to get on certain special teams units. You go out there, you earn your stripes from special teams, then you start earning some opportunity to get some real playing time. But I love it, Dave. And the one thing else, Ryan Day said he's going to also be heavily involved in the special teams. I think that's going to be big right there because he just can't go and bunker himself down in the quarterback room and the offensive meeting rooms. Now that you're hearing that Ryan Day is going to be fully involved with the special teams units, that right there shows you the growth. That shows you someone who really understands the CEO role. He also mentioned that he's been spending a lot of time in the defensive line meeting room with Larry Johnson. He's been able to bounce around. He's coaching the running backs now until he's able to find a full-time coach. So I think that Ryan Day being a CEO has allowed him to really expand himself as more of a head coach as opposed to just the quarterbacks and offensive coordinator.
Okay, I want to talk running back coach, everything involving that with Ohio State, but I do want to sneak this in. David on YouTube, I mean, he has please, you know, gotta respect the nice manners here. So he said, if you can you please talk a little quarterback? I mean, there's been four practices, only two have been open to the media, and of those two, only 45 minutes. So yeah, it's hard to get a good gauge, but I thought Pro Day was interesting because Will Howard, Devin Brown's got the stronger arm. Devin's got, mm-hmm. you know, I want maybe call it a cannon, but it's pretty close to a cannon. Will does not have a cannon, but you just see his veteran, his timing, his accuracy was better than Devin at Pro Day. The first practice we were at seemed like Devin was actually more accurate and had the stronger arm, but I thought Will played well at threw well at Pro Day, and that was a good experience for him. I'm in the camp. I think J-Book is too. I'll turn it over to J-Book. I'm in the camp that Will Howard will be the starter, but I hope Devin Brown sticks around because depth is good. Yeah.
I lean towards that way, Dave, but by no stretch of the imagination is this quarterback battle over. You're not going to hear a whole lot besides, you know, what they want you to have out as far as the quarterback position because, you know, they've pretty much shut off viewing practice for the next couple of weeks besides a lot of the recruits that are on deck. A lot of recruits in town, and Dave and I will touch on that as well. But as you mentioned, some of the reports that came out of the Pro Day, as you mentioned, Devin Brown had more velocity on the football. However, Will Howard looked more polished, more accurate in that stage like that. I was thinking to myself, Dave, how would you feel if you're Will Howard? You're coming from Kansas State, and then all of a sudden, boom, within a couple of weeks, you're at Ohio State throwing at a Pro Day in front of, you know, hundreds of NFL personnel. Like, that has to be a mind trip to say I come from Manhattan, Kansas to the big stage and I'm all of a sudden just throwing in front of a bunch of NFL GMs and scouts and I'm not even declaring for the NFL draft. But I do think it's really cool that he was able to handle that type of pressure, step up, deliver the ball. That's the thing. You're not going to get the gaudy arm strength that you're going to that you're accustomed to seeing from like Stroud and Cardell and Haskins, those type of guys. He does not have that, but he can put the ball on the money. He is accurate, but the X factor is he is a big guy, 6'6", that can definitely pull the ball down, do a lot of things that Chip Kelly is accustomed to do with the quarterback run game. So that is something that he's going to bring to the table. And the one thing that you have to keep in mind, too, with Devin Brown, and it's the biggest question mark over his head, Dave, they want to be able to run the quarterback this year. Can his body hold up? You know, that's been the biggest thing with Devin Brown. It's never been about his talent. He's always been extremely talented. He's cut himself short numerous times due to injuries and setbacks. We don't know if Devin Brown, if he was named a starter, will he go out the next week because the history has shown that he hasn't been able to stay healthy. So that is something that you absolutely have to take into account when you're judging this quarterback battle.
Yeah, I mean, even if he ends up kind of in the role that they envisioned him last year, which he was starting to come into until he got hurt, even if they do that, even if he's the backup, but they bring him in, like somebody said, like a Taysom Hill type role or just what they were doing last year, though they don't need to bring him in goal line this year. Unless they just determine, even though Will Howard's good at goal line running, that Devin Brown's better. Okay, fine, I get that. But even then, I'd be worried about his durability as the backup in like a bit role, let alone as the starter. So I think Will Howard's going to be the starter. He's had no durability issues. Now watch him get hurt and Devin be perfectly healthy. So who knows? Okay, running back coach. Lots to unpack here. I had a source tell me that Ohio State got played by DeMarco Murray. And I'm like, come on. I'm like, he got a 3-year extension and a hefty raise. It's like, yeah, that's what he was trying to get. I'm like, so you're saying he wouldn't have come here if Oklahoma didn't step up? And my source said, Well, we'll never know, but he's like, I think DeMarco played Ohio State. So I want you to get into that. And now, you know, they have to turn to at least a plan B. Is that going to be Scotty Graham? Is it going to be somebody else? Who do you think it will be? Who do you want? And did DeMarco play Ohio State?
Well, I don't know if he played Ohio State, but Ohio State, they're getting people paid. I mean, you look at the top two names that were on the board, the Alabama running back coach and then DeMarco Murray. All of a sudden, Ohio State, you know, throws it out there that these are two of the top targets. And coincidentally, these two get major pay bumps all of a sudden. So I don't know if DeMarco played them. I do think that he also interviewed for the Michigan job. If he wasn't being paid top tier type of money, knowing that that's what his market value is, there's no way I could see him saying, yeah, I'm just going to leave $300,000 a year on the table for you guys. When Ohio State, a premier program who has the number one running back room in the country, who's going to be competing for a national championship with unlimited resources, if they're paying me $300,000 more, I couldn't see him staying at Oklahoma if that's the case. Now, there's been some chatter about Stan Drayton. Other outlets have said that he's that probably won't go through because of the financial situation as far as him being a head coach at Temple. You mentioned Scotty Graham, Pepe Pearson. Those are two names that are probably still on there. And people got mad at me this week, Dave, because I said it, and I know it's cutthroat, but if we're looking at it right now, Ryan Day probably should have fired Tony Alford when the whole speculation was happening. He should have followed his gut. And if you remember this, Dave, when Kerry Combs debacle happened, what did Ryan Day say to the media? He said, my gut told me that I should have fired Kerry after year one, but I didn't do it. And then what happened? The disaster turned, and then he had to turn to Matt Barnes to be the defensive coordinator. And Ryan Day said, I learned from that I need to follow my gut. I think he was too nice in this situation. He allowed Tony Alford an off-ramp. Tony had other opportunities. But you look at the coaching window now, the window is so small because so many coaches are signed new contracts. So many coaches are in the midst of spring football. If he would have fired Tony when all of the speculation was that he wasn't going to be back right after the Missouri game, Ryan Day easily could have went to that coaches convention and had a much bigger pool of candidates to choose from. So it's hindsight, but you know, I think Ohio State, they're going to be fine regardless of who they bring in. You're going to be able to have an elite running back room. So like we talked about last week, all you have to do is just come in here and just keep the car on the road, because the talent that's in that room is going to elevate your name to another stratosphere. Even if you're a Pepe Pearson or a Scotty Graham, the fans are going to gas you up like you're one of the best running back coaches in the country, regardless if that's true or not, because you're potentially going to have two 1,000-yard backs in that backfield.
Yeah, and I like the depth there too, is Hayden. We think Dallin's actually going to get some carries this year. And then James Peoples, love it. We're going to talk recruiting here in a moment. Huge recruiting weekend is already going on for the Buckeyes. Mrs. Sanchez, a loyal listener of the show, usually in our live chat, she's here in town right now with her talented son and their family. They got here last night, the Sanchez family did. So hopefully Dietra, you know, is able to join us for the show. But she's being wined and dined over, maybe not wined this early, but being dined over at the WAC right now. So I hope the Sanchez family has a great time. So we're going to get J-Book's thoughts on what he's most interested in hearing about and seeing develop this weekend, some of the guys that are on campus. Real quick, I want to let you guys know about Omaha Steaks again and a great deal you guys can get, 50% off. I love that we have Omaha Steaks returning as a sponsor of the show, and I love that they have a great deal for you guys. When you go to omahasteaks.com/bucknuts, you'll receive 50% off site-wide. I love a bunch of their products, like I've been telling you guys. Their ribeye steaks, pretty much all their steaks. Their sirloin steaks, their filet mignon wrapped in bacon. You can't go wrong. You want to mix it up a little bit, their pork chops are really good. They got really good burgers. It's fantastic. Ton of great side dishes, really good desserts, bunch of great stuff. Omaha Steaks is the world's best beef, naturally aged for the ultimate in tenderness, juiciness, and flavor, all backed by their unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. The Omaha Steaks semi-annual sale is here. Get 50% off site-wide with all of your mouth-watering favorites, from all of those steaks to delicious comfort meals, decadent desserts, and so much more. Plus, you'll get 8 free Omaha Steak burgers with select packages. And every purchase is backed by their unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Simply go to omahasteaks.com/bucknuts and shop that semi-annual sale today. 50% off. All right, recruiting, huge weekend. What has piqued your interest the most, my friend?
It's a lot going on this week, Dave. A lot of heavy hitters on campus. I mean, let's start, you know, you mentioned Devin Sanchez, getting him back on the campus. I think that was huge. And then you have five-star wide receiver DeCorian Moore, who's LSU commit. He is an absolute stud. He came up to practice. Sounds like they hit it out the park with him. TJ Alford, Dave, he is set to commit next week. Four-star linebacker, number 53 in the country on 24/7. He's set to commit next week. Everybody's saying that's probably going to be Ohio State. It also helps that he's on campus a week before he announces his commitment. I think he's been leaning towards Ohio State for a long time now. Elijah Barnes, another linebacker out of Texas, the number 14 linebacker, big boy, 6'2", 225, four-star, 91 rated on 24/7. He's up on campus today. And then you look at another wide receiver, Kalik Lockett out of Texas. He's an absolute baller. Number 2 wide receiver in the 2024 class. Getting him on campus tomorrow, I think that's going to be big. And then Tavian St. Clair is there on campus. You see how big St. Clair is standing next to C.J. Stroud, Dave. But getting your future quarterback there, helping to recruit some of these wide receivers, that's never going to be a big issue. Now, I would love to see more offensive linemen there. Dave, I think you're going to get some of the 2026 in-state guys like Will Conroy, some of those guys. But I would love to see more national offensive linemen on campus. But great group. I mean, Jonas Williams going to be a top quarterback in 2026. He's going to be there. So they're going to have a lot of guys there on campus right now and a lot of heavy hitters there. So you have to be happy about that if you're an Ohio State fan. I don't know if you're going to get any commitments out of this besides TJ Alford next week, the Florida linebacker, but it can really set the stage for you to surge ahead. And here's the thing, Dave. People can look at all of these commits and stuff or recruits and say, hey, that's nice that you visit, but we probably don't have a shot. Now you kind of like cautiously optimistic because you kind of have that NIL in your back pocket with the foundation in 1870 to say, hey, our war chest, we're ready to go to battle with anybody. You're going to get developed here at Ohio State. You're going to be competing at a high level. You're going to be competing for national championships. And Ohio State will make sure that you're taken care of on the NIL front, which not a lot of programs can offer that combination of a package like the Buckeyes can.
And now that they're paying Jake Diebler $2.5 million a year plus incentives, could get to $3 million a year instead of paying, let's say, Dusty May $6 million a year, whatever it would have taken. That's an extra $3.5 million right there that they can use for football, right?
Yeah.
Does it work like that, maybe? just in my mind?
You know, and I'm sure, you know, the foundation and those guys, they're going to be running all kinds of stuff that's going on to raise money. But tampering season's coming up, Dave. That spring NFL, or NFL, because I'm almost looking at it like the NFL with the tampering. But the spring college football transfer portal opens up here the next couple weeks. Now, one thing to keep in mind, you're going to get a lot of programs that are tampering on the back end of Ohio State's roster. Like, you know, just, you know, some of those younger guys like a Calvin Simpson Hunt, Jermaine Matthews, I don't think they're going to go anywhere, but you're going to get a lot of programs that's going to be trying to tamper with those guys. So I'm curious to see, you know, how Ohio State maneuvers here, because will they go and get another offensive tackle? Because they seem pretty content with Fryer at the right tackle, Simmons there at the left tackle, with Tegra probably being your third tackle there. So I'm not sure how aggressive they're going to be there, but I'm sure if an absolute stud, because if you believe Josh Pate, it's going to be absolute mayhem once that spring window opens up. But Ohio State, they got the money to go and dabble any which way that they so choose. But more importantly, make sure that the guys that are on your roster are taken care of. So once these teams come tampering with the Buckeyes, that it's they just, you know, shut the door. Because the last thing we want, Dave, is Caleb Downs to try to transfer back to Alabama.
Don't even say that.
I'm saying this on the record. I'm saying it sarcastically, Dave, because all the noise from the Bama fans after Proctor transferred back there, you know, they had all that dust up, and here's Caleb Downs just minding his business, enjoying practice, taking pictures with recruits.
Yeah, I give Brian Schottenstein credit. He shot that down right away, didn't he? He's our guy.
He's our guy.
We're taking care of him. He's happy.
They just got him what $100,000 Land Rover Defender last week or something like that.
Jeez. That makes two of us, huh?
Yeah, no, Dave.
No. Sure doesn't, unless two of us is you and him. It certainly is not me, but great stuff, Jay Book. Great stuff. A lot of material to get into as usual on a Friday. You come strong as always. Thank you to Mr. Jonah Booker. Thanks to all of the listeners and viewers. We appreciate you guys very much. Hope everyone has a great day and a great weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.